The Bible says we reign in life through Jesus Christ. It's important to understand what that means. I was concerned about many things. My health, my family, my mother, our church, the weather, demonized people, and the wickedness in America. But the Lord said to me, stop worry and fear and rule and reign in life. And I mean, when you sense fear and depression and anxiety, these things trying to come on you, you need to remember that you do not have to give in to those things. You can rule and reign in life over them. Why? Because we all have power and authority in the name of Jesus Christ to rule and reign in life. The new birth not only cleanses us from sin, but gives us great benefits that many of us do not know we have. In Psalm 103, verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. How many know there's great benefits to serving Jesus Christ? The devil wants you to believe if you serve God, you'll live down by the railroad tracks in a shack. You'll never have a decent job. You'll have sickness and disease all your life because God's trying to teach you something. You'll be in poverty because poverty is somehow holy. And that is just the lies of the devil. The Bible says I have great benefits because of a born-again believer and Jesus Christ lives in me. Actually says I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Now thanks be unto God which always causes me to triumph and win. Don't listen to the lying devil. He'll cause you to waste your life. You can rise up out of the ashes and do great and mighty things for God. As believers in Christ, we have been set free from the law of sin and death. Just pray close attention. There's a good possibility you'll learn something today. Learn something from the Word of God. Satan, give it up and get out of here. Romans chapter 8, verse 1, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. Before you're born again, you're controlled by the law of sin and death. When Jesus Christ comes into your life, that's broken off of you, and you're a free person, and you need to get into the Word and find out all the benefits and blessings that God has for you. You see, the law of the Spirit of life has set us free from the law of sin and death. We have been redeemed from the domain of darkness and from the old slave master, the devil. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his son. A lot of us still, even though we're born again, we do not clearly understand what has happened. We have been transferred from Satan's kingdom to the kingdom of God. We're no longer in darkness. We have the light of the Holy Spirit and the light of the Word and the light of Jesus Christ and the light of God's truth shining into our hearts, into our lives. Verse 14 says, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. What does redemption mean? It means you've been bought and paid for. You've been bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. Today, if you're washed in the blood, you belong to him, and he belongs to you, and he lives in you. It says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. How can you walk around feeling depressed like an old broken down mule when Jesus Christ lives in you? You see, we have to stir that up. We have to remind ourselves of who we are. We are the righteous of God. We have every right to come boldly before the throne of grace, and he's made us tons of promises in his word, and he'll keep every one of them by faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. You can't even be saved without putting your faith in Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith. You could say, for by grace are you healed through faith. For by grace are you delivered through faith. For by grace are you blessed financially through faith. Believe in him for everything you need. Just pay close attention to these scriptures. Once again, that says, for he rescued us from the domain of darkness. You've been rescued. I don't care how depressed the devil try to make you or how discouraged you get. You need to remind yourself you've been rescued from the old devil. He had a plan to wreck you and destroy you and take you into a lake of fire. And Jesus rescued you. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God. Colossians 1:13, for he rescues us from the domain of darkness and transfers to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We have been redeemed from the domain of darkness and transferred to the kingdom of his Son. We must confess, we have been redeemed. Try that. We have been redeemed. Say it again. We have been redeemed. Let me read the rest of it here. We have been redeemed, bought, and paid for. That's what redeemed really means. And then, we are not of this world. We're no longer of this world. Now, what does all of this mean? Ephesians chapter 2, 19. Now, therefore, we are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints. I mean, we're not even citizens of this world any longer. We belong to him. We're citizens of heaven, and we have fellowship with the saints. Amen. Now, therefore, ye are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints. I'm a citizen of heaven. How about you? Amen. This is not my home. I want to do good while I'm here and be blessed while I'm here so the sinners can see that serving God has great benefits. And that's the way it's been my whole life. God's always blessed me. More than people all around me who weren't serving God. My daddy wouldn't give me a dime for college, and sure wouldn't give me a dime for seminary. I worked my way straight through 7 years, and I could always find a job when no one else could. It's unbelievable. Arise and shine, for the light has come. Amen. But fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, we're not strangers to God. We're fellow citizens with the saints. In John chapter 15, verse 19, Jesus says, you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world. You live in the world, but you're not of the world. You're not like everybody else. You're born again, new creation in Christ. You say, well, I don't always feel like it. Well, I don't either. But that don't change a thing. The devil try to use feelings to make you think you're lost, to make you think you're a loser, to make you think it's all over for you, but you don't go by your feelings. You go by this word. Can you say amen? Amen. I rule and reign in life, you lying devil. You hear me? You need to tell him that. I tell him that all the time. So far, so good. God has blessed me and Dottie beyond our wildest expectations. And I don't serve him for blessings. I serve him because I love him, and he told me, he called me, and I'm going to serve him if I never have a blessing. But it says we have benefits. And I don't let the devil cheat me out of benefits. You can let him cheat you if you want to, but I don't intend to let him cheat me out of anything. You say, well, how can you say that? Because Jesus said the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He'll steal your lunch right out of your lunch bucket. Amen. You are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world. We do not belong to the world. And we are of the household of God. Let's confess that. I am of the household of God. I am. Come on. I am of the household of God. Talk real loud like the house is full of people today. Come on, one more time. I am of the household of God. You see, we have power and authority because Jesus Christ lives in us. We have angels helping us, watching over us, and we're anointed with the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you shall receive what? Power. Quit walking around like a wimpy, old, broken-down dog. Recognize who you are. Walk around with confidence. Put your chest out and say boldly, I can do all things through Christ which lives in me, enables me, and strengthens me. You see, the Word of God says, because we have received grace and righteousness, we will reign in life through Jesus Christ. Now listen closely. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. The Lord gave me this message years ago, and I've preached something very similar several times before. But this has been in my heart and life for a long time. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. For if by the transgression of the one, death reigned through the one. Now, who's the one? Adam. Adam was righteous before God. He was created righteous, and so was Eve. But when they sinned, it brought all these curses into the Garden of Eden. Everything changed instantly. For by the transgression of Adam and Eve, death reigned through the one. You see, death and destruction now rules over people of this world. But we're not of this world. You see, all these tragedies happen to everybody else. And the devil says, well, you're next. No, I'm not next because I'm not of this world. God has a way of taking care of me no matter what happens. And over the years, God has redeemed my life out of destruction so many times, it's just absolutely unbelievable. And sometimes it delivered me from my own crazy driving. I almost killed myself, and somehow God got me out of it. Can you say amen? You see, we have Jesus to help us. Then he goes on to say, well, let me read that from the beginning, go straight through. For if by the transgression of Adam, death reigned through Adam, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. Just like death is reigning over all of those who are not born again, they've been destroyed, many of them killed, and then the devil tells us, well, you're next. I'm not next. I'm not of this world. My time's going to come, but I'm not leaving you till my time's up. If you're praying for me to leave early, forget it. I'm hanging around till I've finished every day. You see, because we have received grace and righteousness, we can reign in life through Jesus Christ. Because we have received grace and righteousness, we can reign in life through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But what does that mean? Rule and reign in life. He told me, he said, stop worrying about everything and start ruling and reigning in life. In other words, start taking authority over demons and devils and begin to believe that you really can do all things and really begin to believe that with me you can do anything. Now look at this. Isaiah 43 explains it. The Bible is its own best commentary. Look, fear not, for I have redeemed you. Does that sound familiar? This is way back in the Old Testament. He said, I've redeemed you. Under the Old Testament law, they sprinkled blood to cover people's sins, and they, from that point, really did belong to God. And he says, fear not. But wonder what that means. It means stop being afraid of everything that could go wrong, like I was thinking all those things that could go wrong. And God says, stop fearing that stuff and start believing me that you're going to conquer every one of those things. Now look, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. He knows your name and he calls you by your name. So how in the world could that be? You got billions of people in the world. Hey, God is God. He really is. And quit trying to figure him out with your little mind. You're not going to ever figure him out. You take him by faith. When you take him by faith, he shows up and he starts doing stuff that you cannot do. See, God says, I have redeemed you, therefore you belong to me. Verse 2, listen, here you go. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. You see, reigning in life does not mean we never have problems. Reigning in life means we have power and authority to cast down mountains, defeat the giants, and stop the storms. And that's what the Lord is saying to me. Quit worrying about all this stuff and take authority over it and believe me to change it. Speak to the storm and I'll cause it to stop. Jesus spoke to the storm and it stopped. The Lord Jesus can speak to the storm in your life right now and shut it down. Amen. By faith. You see, reigning in life does not mean we will not go through the fire. It means we can go through the fire and not be burned, not destroyed. I've been through a lot of fire. There's been a lot of opportunities for me to totally be destroyed and annihilated, but I just keep right on walking because I know somehow God's going to get me out of it. You never give up. You see, the only way the devil can win against you is if you give up and quit. That's why a lot of people go through a divorce. They just give up. I don't give up. Amen. And Dottie's just as strong as me. We don't give up. So we stay together no matter what. Okay, you don't give up. And then God always works it out. And he'll work out everything in your life if you'll hang in there and give him a chance. Now, of course, when it comes to marriage, sometimes a person winds up divorced. They don't have a choice in it. But your life is not over when that happens. God's still got a plan for you. Isaiah 54, verse 17, it says, "No weapon formed against me shall prosper." The devil has a plan for you. That's hard for us to believe. But Jesus has a plan for you. That's a good plan. "I know the plans that I have for you," declares the Lord. "Plans to bless you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope in the future." Well, the devil has a plan too, to destroy you. And you really decide which plan you're going to go with by faith. When you choose, you're going to have God's plan, and God will make his plan happen. Amen. When God called me and Dottie to come here and start this church, the devil had a plan to talk me out of it and keep us in Lexington so we'd starve to death. But we decided we was going to believe God and follow God and trust God. And here we are 44 years later, sitting on a piece of property that's probably worth around $30 million, $25 to $30 million. How'd this happen? I don't know. God just called us. We stepped out by faith, and God has worked miracle after miracle after miracle. Norman Williams, we had him actually come to this church. It's been many years ago. I think it was in the 80s. Probably not too long after we built this building over here and moved the church in there. And he was on a Pam M flight, and he was flying, they landed in the Canary Islands. And there was also a KLM flight, a Dutch airlines, that was at the same airport. A big fog moved in, and this made news all over the world. I mean, I remember it. I've been around a long time. I remember a lot of things that people don't even know happened. But anyway, it made the headlines everywhere. And Norman Williams was sitting in the Pam Am jumbo jet. And the KLM was a jumbo jet. It's a big, thick fog. Nobody could see anything. And the pilot of the KLM jumbo jet thought he had permission to take off. He didn't. And that's what you got to do in an airplane. I have a pilot's license. You rev that thing up as fast as that engine will go to get that thing off the ground. And he's going down that runway at full takeoff speed. Jumbo jet, I don't know exactly what they take off at. Somewhere, I would say around 150, 200 miles an hour. And just as he's about ready to take off, this Pam Am was taxing and taxed right in front of him. And he just got a glimpse of him and realized he had a problem. And the pilot of the KLM jumbo jet jerked back on the yoke, and he tried to get over the Pam Am jumbo jet, and he didn't quite make it. His landing gear. You seen the jumbo jets? Have you seen the landing gear underneath those things? And the landing gear hit the Pam Am flight and cut it in half. And you can go look this up. I looked it up last night just to refresh myself on it. And when that happened, the fuel tanks in the jumbo jet, the KLM that went over, busted. And it dumped fuel right in the laps of all those people in that area. And one of them was Norman Williams. And it immediately ignited. That's the most dangerous thing about a flight, especially if you go down and crash, is the fuel igniting. And boy, that's what happened. And he's right in the middle of this. Everybody around him was burned to death. And there was a hole in the top of the airliner, evidently from that the landing gear tearing a hole in it. And somehow, it's about 8 to 10 feet in there. Somehow he got through that hole. And he said metal was just glowing hot, and it would just be blown right at him. He'd just take his hand and push it aside. And he said his mother had taught them this scripture: "When I walk through the fire, I'll not be burned." And he stood right here in our church and told us that. He said, I was saying, and you can read other things, but he told us that himself. He said, I walked through that fire. He said, I was saying, when I walk through the fire, I'll not be burned. When thou walkest through the fire, thou not be burned. He said, I will not be burned. I will not burn. He was pushing red hot metal out of everybody around him in that section. Every one of them burned to death. Out of both of those airliners, there's, I think, 593 people, and only 70 survived. And he was one, and there was nobody in his section that survived. He walked out of there. He got out on the wing. Of course, old Jumbo, just the wing's high enough to break your legs. He jumped off, and they made a picture of him, and it made the front, that made the cover of Time magazine. And he brought a copy of it so we all could see it. And his picture was in here. Anybody see that? Did you see it, Lynn? Raise your hand if you saw that picture. There's some here that actually saw that picture. Now look, when he jumped off, he hurt his ankle. He didn't have a burn place on him. He just hurt his ankle for jumping off that wing. When I walk through the fire, you can be burned if you want to, but I don't want to. Now, that's literally. Of course, most of the time, the fire we walk through is not that literal. Can you say amen? But it's still fire, and it still can destroy your marriage, your home, your life, everything. And you got to keep your eye right on Jesus Christ. He's your shepherd. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Fear is a choice, ladies and gentlemen. And you have to fight it off. See, that's what the devil's trying to do. This wasn't too long ago that the Lord said this to me. I was letting all these things start bothering me. And it's a little while back, but not very far. And the Lord said, stop this and start taking authority and ruling and reigning and believing me to fix these things. And he is. He's fixing them. He'll fix them for you too. Now, when it's your time to go, you're going to go. A lot of you don't get it. Well, I was praying for them and they died. Look, if it's time for them to go, your prayer's not going to change that. So, it comes my time to go, try not to rejoice too much. Thank God he's gone. Daniel chapter 3, verse 24. The Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and stood up in haste. He said to the high officials, was it not three men we cast bound into the midst of the fire? They replied to the king, certainly, O king. Verse 25, he said, look. He said, look. I see four men loosed and walking about in the midst of the fire without harm, and the appearance of the fourth is like a son of the gods. It wasn't like the son of the gods. It was the son of the God. Could have been an angel, but I believe in Jesus Christ, because you know where he always is? He's always in the fire. We are running in life when we pass through the deep water, march through the rivers, and walk through fire. People say, how in the world did he do that? How did he survive that? How did that happen? How did he survive that cancer and all that? How did they survive? It was the grace of God and the power of God and faith in the Word of God. That's how they survived it. So no matter what the doctor tells you, you can beat it. If it's not God's time for you to go to heaven and only you can find that out, talk to God. And if it's not your time to go, you say, I'm winning. Devil's not going to shorten my life. He does come to steal, kill, and destroy. He will come to steal your life even. And you got to take a stand. Psalm 34, verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of some of them. I got that wrong. But the way I read it, it's the way most of us believe it. But that's not, look what it says. But the Lord delivereth him out of them all. And of course it means her too, but the Lord delivereth her out of them all. And it's my time to go to heaven. He wants to deliver me, because that's one of my benefits, to be delivered so I can serve him. And in my case, preach and love on people and pray for people 24/7, believing God for great things. And I get texts almost 24/7. People pray for this and pray for that. And I'm going to tell you, in most cases, we could get a good report because God has called me to pray for you. Amen. Well, I don't want to bother you. I love to be bothered for those kind of things. You know, there's some things, no. But that's what I'm here for, to be bothered. Amen. And God has anointed me to pray for people. Have you know that already? Not bragging, but just something you need to know, that your pastor prays for you. And he expects it to work. Christ has given every believer great power and authority, and we must use it. Now, Lord, you're going to help me to be able to go faster. Anybody believe God can speed me up? Okay. I got a lot of scriptures here. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God by pulling down strongholds. What are those weapons? Some of them is praying and fasting and meditating on the word, standing on the promises, having brother and sister agree with you in prayer. Those are some of our weapons that we have. So you have something to do. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And the King James says casting out imaginations. It basically means the same thing, because God, devil will argue with you, well, you can't get healed. And then you begin to have this imagination of yourself laying intensive care, dying. You got to cast down those imaginations. Don't let that thing stay on you. Get that negative, demonic imagination off of you. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. What does that mean? Everything that contradicts the word of God, you cast it down. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. If you know that Jesus Christ had healed you or given you a gnosis revelation of healing in you, every thought that comes to you from the devil telling you you're going to die, you say, devil, you just get out of here, because I know God is healing me right now. And I'm not listening to a thing you have to say. You're not putting that spirit of death on me, that fear on me. I'm casting out imagination. I got a vision of my tombstone. I cast that down. It's not my time yet. Unless you know it's your time. You see, we pull down strongholds, cast down demonic imaginations, and take every negative thought captive. What good does it do to let those negative thoughts just keep going over and over again? Well, how do I stop it? Start quoting Scripture, reading Scripture, get your favorite promises, and just stare at them, meditate on them. You see, we have authority and power over everything the devil has, every addiction, every fear, every negative imagination. In Matthew chapter 21, verse 20, can y'all listen fast? I'm going fast. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how did the fig tree wither away so soon? Jesus Christ cursed the fig tree. He said, you're not going to bear any fruit anymore. And the thing immediately wilted up. Now, I know people take this allegorically, but he didn't say it's an allegory, did he? Let's look at this, verse 21. So Jesus answered and said to them, assuredly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, it will be done. Jesus said, speak in faith to the mountains, to the demons, to the strongholds, and cast them into the sea. But that can't be real. It can't be true. That is the devil telling you that. And telling me that. Just pay attention. And whatever things you asked in prayer believing, you will receive. Do you think Jesus Christ was a bald-faced, premeditated, intentional liar? Well, then it must be true. And so we have to have the faith to do it. Now, pay attention. and whatever things you ask in prayer, believing you will receive. We think, as I just said, this is somehow mystical or mythical or mystical or some kind of allegory, but this is truth. Jesus said we can speak to the mountains, and we can. A tornado, was it just this past this year, wasn't it? Went right down Old Cedar Bluff Road. The thing came down Bob Gray, and I mean, it tore nearly all the trees on the road all the way down for about 3 miles. And it tore all the trees off the corner down here on this side, on that side of Cedar Bluff at Old Cedar Bluff as it turns and goes to Middlebrook. It went right by the Waggles over here and tore the top off of that covers the gas tanks. Went on down Middlebrook and just knocked trees down every which way. I was at home when that storm hit, and I mean, it looked like the hail and blowing wind. I mean, it looked like he was going to blow my house away. And I stood in front of the window. I didn't run in the back. I said, "You foul lying devil, I rebuke you. You go around his house." Now, you can think I'm crazy, and I might be, but not because of this. I said, "I command you to go around my house. I command you." And I realized this church was in his path. I said, "You go around that church. Don't you touch that church in the name of Jesus Christ." That thing went right by us. And the only thing, we just had put in that new playground not too long before that. And it's got that big canopy thing. It didn't touch it. The only thing it did on this side of Old Cedar Bluff is blew the lid off our trash can. Well, I don't believe that. Well, you may get your house blown away. God didn't send me to preach this so you could just doubt it. I'm telling you, it works. Somebody say another amen. Amen. Psalm 91, verse 7, 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 to thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Now, I realize I'm preaching with a lot more faith right now because I'm in a good environment. And you're here and the Spirit of God is here. But when I get hit out of here, sometimes I fall apart just like everybody else. And I got to run and get my sermon notes. Say, what did I preach? What did I preach? But if you'll stand on these scriptures, you got a real chance of winning. And what's it going to hurt if you're losing anyway? Maybe God really will bail you out. Maybe he'll bail out your marriage. Maybe he'll bail out your kids. Maybe he'll help you to keep your job instead of getting laid off or fired, or maybe give you a better job. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 to the right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. The devil says, well, you're next. And I say, I'm redeemed. And I confess his promises, and I'm not next. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. You see, this is ruling and reigning in life. It doesn't mean you're not going to have problems. You just overcome them. In Luke chapter 10, verse 19, behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions of all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. You see, we have authority over the curses, demons, and demonized people, but we must use it. In Acts chapter 13, verse 10, Elymas, a sorcerer, Paul was trying to win the governor of this island to Jesus Christ, and the sorcerer kept interfering, trying to keep the governor from getting saved. You son of the devil, I thought for a minute he was going to say something else. You son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease to make crooked the straight ways of the Lord? That's what a lot of people do. They make crooked the straight ways of the Lord. This is pretty straight, pretty easy to simple, pretty easy and simple. People make it crooked. Well, that's not really what it means. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Either you believe it or you don't. You son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease to make crooked the straight ways of the Lord? Verse 11, now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you will be blind and not see the sun for a time. And immediately a mist and a darkness fell on him. You see, for a time he was blind because Paul had the authority to shut him down. Boy, when I discovered that many years ago, and I discovered I have authority over demonized people, boy, that changed my world. I'm not afraid of anybody. I've got authority over them. And I use it. Paul used his authority and stopped the evil plan of Elamites. Isn't it great when somebody just reads the Bible for you? There it is right in front of you. Ruling and reigning means rebuking storms, sickness, disease, demonized people, and mountains. I went on this radio station years ago, and I was on this small station. They brought a big one to town, and I wanted to be on the radio station. And so the manager actually came to see me. And, of course, a full gospel preacher. I believe in the full power of the Holy Spirit, miracles and healings. And they were an independent fundamental group, and they didn't believe all that, so they wouldn't let me on. But of course, they were lying to me. They wouldn't tell me that. Good fundamental Christians that didn't tell the truth. And I got him in the office and right here on his property, and I told him what I wanted, and he began to make all these excuses. And when he walked out the door, I raised my hand. I said, "Lord, take him out. I want that radio station. Take him out. Remove him." Now, you can believe what you want to believe, but like the week after that, one of the members of our church called me and said, "Barry, I need to talk to you." He said, "I need you to pray for me." He said, "They decided to fire that radio station manager, and they've asked me to take his place." Amen. I said, "I don't need to pray about that. Take the job." And he took the job, and guess who got on the radio station? Well, I don't know if I believe that. Well, you may want to pray about it, because I'm telling you, that's the way I live. You mess with me, you're going to be in trouble. Really? Really? And if you know your authority and power, and I mess with you, I'm going to be in trouble. This is not a one-way street. I'm not preaching you so I'll know I got authority. I'm preaching to you so you know you got authority. What you believe is not going to affect me, but what you believe is going to affect you. You got a problem at work, you can take authority over that thing. John Yucha, is he in here? Right there he is. He's had several situations with bosses, and he's been at this company now forever. But if a boss comes against him, they get fired. He had this one boss. Am I telling the truth so far? If they can't see you going back, you got, okay. Anyway, this boss was abusing him, and he didn't get mad and quit. He just came to the men's prayer meeting and said, "Pray that God will take care of this." And it went on for weeks and weeks. You got to stay persistent. Amen. Well, it's not working. How do you know it's not working? Stay on it. You can't see if it's working or not. Amen. And so after several weeks, he came in one day with a big grin on his face. He said, "They fired my boss." See, that's the reason we believe this, because it's working not only for me, but for all of us that believe God. Where did time go? Jesus. This is awful. I barely got halfway through. 2 Corinthians 2:14. "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph." I like to say win. "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph." You see, the Lord has given us everything we need to always win. And that's, I confess these verses. I confess that one all the time. "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes me to triumph." It doesn't matter how hard it is. I'm saying, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes me to win." I won last time. I'm going to win this time. Of course, the devil's fighting me like he does you, trying to put fear and doubt upon me. But I have to remind myself that I can rule and reign in life by taking authority over the devil. I give you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions of all the power of the enemy. I can walk through the deep water and not be drowned. I can march through the rivers and not be overflown. I can walk through the fire and not be burned up. Can you say amen? Let's all stand.